This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of glory, we are so busy watching the skies for your presence that we forget to look around to see those we can serve in your name. We are so intent on finding just the right way to win an argument that we forget the words of reconciliation you have taught us. We are so convinced we can figure out your schedule that we forget to open ourselves to the presence of your Spirit within us. Mighty source of our lives, fill us with the wisdom to resist evil in our lives and strengthen us in that faith which is given to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, a happy Memorial Day weekend to all of you. When we moved into the Epiphany season, we blessed chalk and invited you all to write on the top of your door lintels or on the floor in front of those doors a prayer of blessing, really, to remind us of God's presence as we go out and come in. In a real practical sense, we are sort of standing on that doorstep right now with our lives. We have been forced to stay in with this quarantine, and now some of us are starting to venture out a little bit more and more. We remember that Jesus is the door, as he told us on Good Shepherd Sunday, and he is with us to guard our going out and our coming in. And we are in this time of our liturgical season right now where Jesus has ascended into heaven, but the Holy Spirit hasn't officially come yet, as we will celebrate next Sunday on Pentecost. So in that sense, liturgically, we are also sort of in the middle. Well, we get some hints from our readings today about how we might be called to look at our past and our present and our future to give us strength. I want to start by talking a little bit about past. And I use a personal example. If you saw our Ascension Thursday service, you know that the relationship I was blessed to have with my father was one that was very special. And someone told me when he died, which was right around this time of year, he had a heart attack following a Memorial Day picnic and never recovered from it. So he is on my heart and mind and my whole family usually at this time of year. But someone told me back then, a wise clergy person, that he would be present with me in a more special way than ever. And he is. There is nothing that I can do, whether it's barbecuing ribs or watching a baseball game or thinking that maybe I just don't want to go to church today and I can hear his voice. We go to church on Sunday. In this profession, I don't get much of a choice, do I? There was a country western song that was the country western song of the year back in the 80s, and it's one that always sticks with me when we are in this time of the church year and when I reflect about what I just talked about in my personal life. And it's called I'm Already There. Perhaps you remember it. It was done by a group called Lone Star. And the father's out on the road, and he calls back home. And the little child gets on the phone and says, "Daddy, when are you coming home?" And in a flash of inspiration, he sings, "I'm already there." Don't make a sound, I'm the beat in your heart. I'm the moonlight shining down. I'm the whisper in the wind, and I'll be there until the end. Can you feel the love that we share? I'm already there. We may be 1,000 miles apart, but I'll be with you wherever you are. I'm already there. Take a look around. I'm the sunshine in your hair. I'm the shadow on the ground. I'm the whisper in the wind. And I'll be there until the end. Can you feel the love we share? I'm already there. This is what Jesus is telling each one of us. Whether we are reflecting upon the situation that those disciples find themselves in the upper room, or us now practically in our lives today, he's already here. When we listen to these words from John's gospel, remember that we are going back in time now before the passion and death. And it's during that time of what's called Jesus' priestly prayer. Now think about this. It's on the very eve of when he is going to be called to be tortured, to be crucified and die. And what does he choose to pray for and about? He prays for us. He prays for our unity. He prays for our protection. So as we look back on our past, we know how faithful God has been to us, and God is going to continue to be that. He's already there. He prays for our protection that we need. He prays for our unity that, in a practical sense, can be a little bit harder for us to attain in this time of separation. But it does enable us proactively to have the strength and the courage that we might be that presence of God to others, whether it is the continued letter writing or even if it is the phone calls that we can make. And as more and more of you through these daily prayer services we're doing are getting trained on Zoom, why not initiate some of those Zoom calls to talk to each other? Than our present. I know that most of you are aware that my family has a habit of sending me what we call Jesus junk, no offense meant, but it are all these rather tacky religious souvenirs that I have a whole museum in my office now, and I pulled this one out. It's hand sanitizer. But it's called Divine Intervention. And the caption reads, "Save yourself, save others. Dirty hands are Satan's workshop." It's kind of funny, but something like this isn't going to be magic. Certainly hand sanitizer and the practical concerns that we must do are important. And that leads us to a little practical consideration of where we are. We all know that the call went out to reopen our churches this weekend. Practically, we are not ready to do that. It is because of our unity. It is because of our love and desire for protection of everyone that we can't do it yet. We have to put a system in place, and we have a task force that has formed at our church for that purpose. And when we do come back to this building, it will be different for us because we will have to maintain the social distancing. We will have to wear masks. It will be a different experience for us. But it is one that we want to make sure that not one single person who is able to come to church is put at any risk. And so we continue in our present to look for the ways that we can make a difference. Well, how can we do that? Well, I want to tell you a little historical story that helps me to understand it. If we could put up the first slide. Those of you who were blessed to go with us on our pilgrimage to the Holy Land 5 years ago, we went to the Mount of Olives where they have what's called the Chapel of the Ascension. And those of you who have been there will remember it. Next slide. It is this round-shaped building that, by the way, now is a mosque. It is controlled by the Muslims because the ascension of Jesus is an important aspect of their faith as well. They do allow other religious groups around this time of year to hold their own religious ceremonies there. We go to the next slide. And there we are outside of that particular mosque, reading the story of the ascension. And the next slide depicts what they say are the imprint of Jesus' feet in the stone. If it isn't true, it should be, right? But there is another location that is looked upon as perhaps the alternate site where Jesus ascended from. As some waggish humor person has said, he went to the city airport instead of the international airport. This is called the Church of Pater Noster, Our Father, because they discovered on this site an ancient stone tablet on which the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, was inscribed. And so in this place, they have the Our Father in tiles, and I believe it's 162 different languages. There we are gathered. We go to the next slide. And you can see our group gathered there. Next slide. And another slide. And let's see if there's one more, maybe. And there you see Luann Langley looking at the Norwegian version of the Lord's Prayer. Is there another one? And that's it. Now, why do I show you this? Well, for those who have been to the Holy Land, it's a reminder of the physical site. But what I want to tell the story about is that first chapel that I showed. The Crusaders built it, and when they built it, it was an open-air chapel. When you think about it, if Jesus was going to ascend, he was going to have to go through the roof. But what happened over time is that they closed in the chapel. They put a roof on it. And it just happens to correspond to a time when the church went into a difficult time period. The metaphor here, it is important for us not to close in. It is important for us to continue to remember that being the church doesn't mean that we have to be in the church building. And there is so much of being church that you have been a part of in these past 2 months. And we need to remember that as we go forward. The ways in which you've reached out to each other, the ways in which you are supporting those who don't have food on the table, and through our expanded efforts at Holy Redeemer, we are able to bring food to those in need, and even your donations that have helped out our own parishioners who are in need. Your prayer support for the healthcare heroes down at Bethesda Hospital and the hospitals around the world, that is not to be taken lightly. You know, there was a military flyover yesterday, and it was right over Bethesda Hospital, but it also came right over our church. And I look at that as maybe just one way we need to understand that you too are doing important work. You continue to support the ministries at this church as we have sort of had to convert them to virtual as best we can. That's an important thing too. We are the church. The church continues to be open. It's just that we're not gathered in this particular building. Someday we will, but we will continue to be the church as we move forward. Lastly, our future. While we are in this in-between time, it becomes important for each of us to reflect upon the spiritual tools that each of us have in our arsenal for moving forward. You know, it's our job, it's our ministry to give you the tools to live out your faith in the world. And so those spiritual disciplines and those Bible studies and those other ways of living out the Christian life, it's important for us to know what you're finding that you didn't have during this time. Because that will gear us towards what we need to provide for you for going forward. Somebody wrote a book a few years ago, and I remember reading it as part of my doctoral studies. And it was called A Sailboat Church. It was written by Joan Gray. And she asks in the book a simple question that becomes the basis for everything. Are you a rowboat church or are you a sailboat church? And we can apply it to our own approaches to our faith life also. Do you find yourself in a rowboat and struggling against the waves just because this is the way you have always done it and this is how you get from point A to point B? Or are you a sailboat church in your faith? Putting in the oars, hoisting the sails, and letting God's wind of the Holy Spirit help you to move forward. We at St. Joseph's and all churches now have to look at that. What have we missed? What do we need? What will we need to move forward in our faith individually and collectively? Because that wind of the Holy Spirit, as we will celebrate next week on Pentecost, is already here. Let's continue to find the ways that we can grasp that wind for our own spiritual growth. Amen.
Amen.